Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
Bad Take Boulevard, every Thursday at 2, we talk about the worst takes of the week. Brendan's already on here, and he was talking for 15 minutes this week because that's the only time he's been working. I can't believe Brendan is actually working 3 days in a row. You want to lead us off here, Blankers, some of the worst takes you've heard this week?
I got plenty.
Okay. Let's start with one.
One would be those that believed that Justin Verlander shouldn't have pitched yesterday. And there were plenty.
Who thought that?
There were a lot of people. A lot of our listeners did, for sure. And a lot of our texters and a lot of people that I was getting feedback from. And I'm like, that's absolutely insane. But to parlay that, I'll just roll into it. Those people that thought that and that, the other people that thought that Jeremy Peña is not a good defensive shortstop. Or the fact that, you know, that you look at some of the things that have happened recently with this Astros team. What?
Did you see the news? By the way, the Golden Glove finalists have been announced. The Gold Glove.
Is Peña
one
of them?
He is.
Oh well, there you go,
Jeremy. They usually don't hand that out. Finalists usually are pretty good at defense, right? They're usually not ones that are bad.
Pretty good, above average
at defense.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Brendan?
Pretty good. Brendan, what did you say?
Yeah, I wanted to hop in and say, how about people who wanted to bench Yuli Gurriel all year?
Oh, he was using me as a pawn to get back
well
at
played.
You
because
you were setting it up to go at him.
I don't think I've ever liked Brendan more because that was well played, Brendan Riley. Yeah, I think that does belong on Bad Take Boulevard. I think that's fair. We wanted, me especially, wanted Yuli Gurriel replaced at first base. He was bad all year in the regular season offensively, and Dusty rode with a bad offensive first baseman all year saying he's going to come through in October.
Well, and I'll
and
own
he's
it.
Come through
I'll
in October.
Own it on myself, too, because I've been the king of the fan club for Trey Mancini, and Trey Mancini has let me down. Trey Day was fantastic early. Trey Day was everything that I want him to be early. And then Trey Day just decided to take a U-Haul to some depths of unknown hitting places that can't get on base. So that's on me.
Yeah. Trey Mancini, maybe he has a big hit still in the playoffs, though.
I hope so.
Maybe he still has a big hit.
Today.
Maybe it's today. We haven't seen the lineups, though, even so some people thought the lineups were already out. That is not the case. How about this from the post-game show yesterday? Actually, it was Jimmy Rollins. Jimmy Rollins on the post-game after the game that the Astros played. He said that the Astros were David and the Yankees were Goliath.
I heard that.
How does that work? I don't understand that one.
I mean, I guess it's just because the evil empire in New York and the whole thing about, you know, everything with the city and the hype and the money that they spent. I heard it live going, I'm like, wait, what? What'd you say?
Yeah,
I couldn't believe that.
Usually the Giant is the one that had the best record in the American League. Usually the Giant is the one that has eliminated the other team in,
three
of the last 7 years, right? 15. They eliminated him in the wild card. 17 in the
19.
ALCS. 19 in the ALCS. I'm just having difficulty understanding how the Yankees are the Giant of the two teams.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
Yankees been to the World Series? In this golden era for the Astros?
Not since 09.
Yeah, have they eliminated the Astros from a playoffs since 15?
No.
Yeah, I'm having
even in the wild card. They got beaten the one game wild card.
Yeah, back in 15. So that one, Jimmy Rollins, Bad Take Boulevard. But I hope you're enjoying the city of Houston. Robert Flores, who works for MLB Network, of course, Houston Cougar, go Cougs. He sent this one out earlier on Twitter. He said just now on MLB Network Radio, this was this morning, that a fan offered this take on Justin Verlander's Tommy John surgery. What's the difference between that and taking steroids?
Oh my God!
Do you know Tommy John was a New York Yankee, right?
He was a Dodger and a Yankee.
He was a New York Yankee. The dude that this is named after was a New York Yankee. Robert Flores said, "Call off the search. We have found the stupidest man on earth."
Like, do you think that for a second there are guys signing up for the hit or miss that going, hey, you know what? I'm a decent pitcher right now, but if I have this surgery, I got to believe I could be all world. And I could blow up, and I could have a faster fastball and better curveballs and longevity and durability. Shut up. That's ridiculous.
That was a good one. Here's an oldie but a goodie. The LA Times, earlier this season, before the playoffs ever started, said that if there was ever a case for canceling the playoffs and awarding a championship to one team because it was so clearly better than all the others, the 2022 Los Angeles Dodgers would be it.
Nice.
How many rounds did the Dodgers win?
Well, and I'll parlay on that to say that their manager was adamant and went out and guaranteed and said, write it down, hold me to it, listen up, here you go. We're going to win the World Series in 22. Maybe not. On second thought, Bad Take Boulevard, mansion, three-car garage, pool, the whole works. You got it, Dave Roberts. I can't believe that they've already announced you will be back, because I think that's a really bad take from Dodger management.
I don't think they care about winning a whole lot. Your local paper saying that they just call off the playoffs. The Dodgers are the best team. You have your manager saying we're going to win the World Series, and then you get ousted in your first round that you play in, and then quickly retain Dave Roberts.
Obviously, they use the reverse philosophy of every other team in professional sports. That is, the regular season clearly means a whole lot more than the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know if this one's a bad take or not. I think it's a bad take, but I'm curious to see what y'all think. Bill Barnwell, who's been on the show, he's really good. I like Bill Barnwell. He says that the Jets are the third best team in the AFC. Look, the AFC has a clear-cut top two, right?
Buffalo.
Kansas City, clear-cut top two. I will admit, to Bill Barnwell's point, that it becomes murky after the top three. In fact, there's only four teams in the AFC that have four wins or more. Bills have five. Kansas City has four. The Chargers have four. And the New York Football Jets have four. Bad take that the New York Jets are the third best team in the AFC?
Long season to go. I'm not going to say that. I mean, I'm still waiting for their quarterback to prove it. I don't believe in their wide receivers as of right now.
I like Garrett Wilson, but a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, as opposed to Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews and the guys they have offensively there, the fact that Cincinnati made it to the Super Bowl a year ago and still has Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow and has weapons and Mixon, they can figure it out. There's plenty of quality teams still out there that I'm not ready to put the Jets in the top three. I'm very much willing to give them their flowers and say, hey, they've been really good and the surprise of the NFL along with the Giants, but I'm not putting them in the top three in the AFC just yet.
Yeah, it belongs on Bad Take Boulevard. I'm not sure that they're better than the AFC South champion. I don't know if it's going to be Tennessee or if it's going to be Indy, but I think Tennessee, probably a better team when it's all said and done than the Jets. Baltimore, they're frustrating because it doesn't seem like they know how to close out games, but Baltimore, a more talented football team than the Jets. The Bengals, the defending AFC champion. Here's a hot take, and maybe it belongs on Bad Take Boulevard from Branham exclusively. The Jets aren't even the third best team in their division.
Miami, Buffalo,
obviously the top. Miami went fully healthy, and Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots because of the fighting Bailey Zappe has been tremendous.
The fact that he's been able to find some semblance of an offense with a Bailey Zappe is, again, credit to what a lot of people think is the greatest coach in NFL history. We'll see. That's why I said there's a long season to play out. I mean, Jets handed it to the Packers in Green Bay. That's hard to do, and so kudos to them. And they are definitely building in the right direction. I'm just not going to tell anybody they're the third best team in the AFC.
This is a take that came up yesterday. I believe it belongs on Bad Take Boulevard right now. Jalen Green, ahead of the Atlanta Hawks game yesterday, the regular season opener, which, by the way, the Hawks got the best of the Rockets. Embrace the suck. Wambia, here we come. Here come the Houston Rockets. But Jalen Green saying that when asked the question about going up against one of the best backcourts in the NBA, Jalen Green said, well, we're one of the best backcourts in the NBA.
Are you? You know, Curry, Thompson, KPJ, and Jalen, no, let's be serious. Let's be you and I, when we heard that, looked at it and said the team they're playing has a better backcourt than they do as of right now with DeJounte Murray and Young. But, look, just kind of don't press fast forward before you have to, Jalen. Just keep growing, keep building. There's no pressure on you right now. There's no big-time playoffs coming where you got to really, you know, show the world what you're made out of. Just keep getting better. There'll be a time for that.
Backcourt yesterday played all right.
They did.
They combined for 37 points, 10 assists. Now, they did turn it over 7 times, which 10 assists, 7 turnovers, not a great ratio there. Jalen Green didn't have a good shooting game, 1-for-7 from behind the three-point line. But stack that up to what the Hawks did with Murray and Young. They also did not have a shooting game. They combined to go 2-for-14 from behind the three-point line. But they combined for 43 points, 24 assists, only 3 turnovers.
Ooh.
So 24 assists, 3 turnovers against the Rockets' backcourt that had 10 assists, 7 turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, from that perspective alone, you can see the growing and the work that still has to be done for the Rockets' backcourt. But you know what? There'll be a time when you can put the Rockets' backcourt in that conversation. The time is definitely not right now.
You see some bad takes throughout the week, tweet them to blank. He'll keep track of it.
I got a scorecard.
All right. Jose Altuve is 0-for-2. He hadn't had a hit in the playoffs. Can you believe it? Should Jose Altuve be untouchable in that leadoff spot, or has there become a time, not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not this series, is there ever a time where you would consider a change this postseason at the top of your order? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Wakefield Crowbar, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees are indeed live from Wakefield Crowbar, 954 Wakefield Drive. Swing on by, hang out with us. Happy hour until 6 every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You coming here for the Astros game? Well, they have some drink specials you want to take advantage of. $22 Crawford Bock buckets, $1 Jello shots for every Astro playoff game. Newly renovated sports bar, giant 24-foot TV wall, wall-to-wall TVs, not a bad seat in the house. Full kitchen, full bar. They have over 30 beers on tap. The food's fantastic. Blankers love the pretzel. The wings here are very, very good as well. If you're looking for a spot, too, to watch some UFC 280 on Saturday, the main card begins at 1 o'clock, by the way. This is the spot. Wakefield Crowbar never charges cover for UFC fights. They also don't charge cover for any sort of pay-per-view boxing, which on the 29th, a couple, not that far away, a week from Saturday, Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva. Lomachenko's fighting Ortiz that day as well, so great spot to keep in mind if you're looking for a place to watch some UFC and to watch some boxing. All right, Jose Altuve has struggled. Altuve has struggled in the playoffs. Jose 0-for-2. He's 0-for-19 so far through the first four games of the Major League Baseball playoffs. Now the Astros have won all four games, and Brendan had this question. Should Altuve be untouchable in that leadoff spot? Or at some point, if it continues to get really bad, when is that point, would you consider a change at the top of your lineup?
I'm riding this out for the rest of the season, and I think Astros fans know exactly why. I take you back to the 17 World Series season when George Springer was doing exactly what Altuve was doing, and everybody was clamoring for George Springer to be moved down in the lineup, and George has to be moved down, and George is killing this team, and George has just lost it, and I don't know if he's going to find it. Oh, by the way, George found it in the World Series, was the MVP of the World Series, batting in the leadoff position, hitting leadoff home runs, doing everything that we know George did. And that's exactly why I'm going to believe that I can roll with Altuve the same way. He's going to find it. I want to see, and a big telling point for me is going to be how he reacts on the field to the abusiveness he's going to get verbally in New York. And will that do what it's been every other market he's been in when they do it to him, Boston, New York, wherever? He gets hyper-focused. He dials in more. He tunes out the noise, gets back to business, hits baseball, does Altuve things. I expect all of that. I'm not worried about it.
If Jose Altuve didn't have a hit the entire postseason, game two tonight, the entire ALCS, if you get to a World Series and then you're facing an elimination game and he is still hitless in the playoffs, I am still no way touching Jose Altuve at the top of the order. One, and the biggest reason amongst any of them, is that it's Jose freaking Altuve. He is the greatest Houston Astro ever. He has been clutch in the postseason. And if you're wrong because Jose Altuve has been all of those things and he doesn't come through in the playoffs, that's a decision that I'm willing to live with. I'm willing to live with Jose Altuve failing, but he's going to be my leadoff hitter. 713-780-ESPN. Where do you stand on this? 713-780-3776. The secondary part of this conversation, too, and look, none of them come close to the number one reason that it's Jose freaking Altuve, and I'm not messing with Jose freaking Altuve, even though Jose Altuve would probably go to Dusty Baker and be like, would you move me down to the lineup? Remember, he did that in 2020 whenever he struggled. I would say, heck no, you're my leadoff man. I'm not changing a thing. The secondary thing is, you don't really have another leadoff option. Like, Jeremy Pena has been abysmal in the leadoff spot when he's been there. He's been swinging a hot bat because he's hitting in large part in front of Yordan Alvarez, so you're not messing with that. Like, I like Alex Bregman at the top of the order because he's a huge on-base guy. He sees a lot of pitches. He doesn't chase. He works a lot of counts. That's what you want from a leadoff guy, with the exception of his speed. But your 3-4-5 right now has been rolling with Yordan, Bregman, Tucker. I'm not changing with that. Chaz McCormick had a really good day at the plate yesterday, but he's not my leadoff man in a playoff game. Absolutely not. This is a stupid question.
Wait, this is exactly how you get Ledmus Diaz going. You put him back in the leadoff spot, and you expect big things. No, you just don't do it. Okay, Brendan, go ahead.
So, I mean, I think both sides of this are pretty reasonable. And
we did Bad Take Boulevard a segment too early.
I get that, like, Altuve is Altuve. And this is probably more on the old school side of things. I do think moving guys around in the lineup can help jumpstart things. And it can go both ways. And like, I just don't see the harm in moving Altuve for literally anybody. You say you don't have another great option at one. Guess what?
Yeah, give me the option.
Anybody! He's not gotten on
this! Give me the option. Give me an option.
Anybody's not an answer.
Bregman. You named Chaz.
Why would you go? Oh, no, let's go one at a time. Why would you go Bregman?
Why would you move the protection for Yordan?
Because I would like somebody on base for Yordan.
So you're
getting walked anyways.
So you're flipping them, though? Like, you're going to flip Bregman and Altuve, and now a dude who's been hitless the entire, like, playoffs is the guy now protecting Yordan Alvarez?
Maybe guys aren't base, and there'll be bigger situations than batting leadoff.
I'm going to be honest here. I don't even really have a strong opinion on this. I just think it's a reasonable debate.
Problem.
Well, that is a strong opinion. You just don't have a guy.
I think it's a reasonable discussion. Sure.
All right.
You put Bregman there because I would like somebody to be on base for Yordan. They're not letting him hit anyways if Pena's on. So give me two guys who can get on in front of them. Force them to walk the bases loaded if they want Yordan to get walked.
But if you put him behind Yordan, now you're expecting even more from him than you are in the leadoff spot because you're moving Bregman. And if it's Tucker, Tucker's not exactly hitting the world on fire. He had a home run in the Seattle series. But as Jeremy pointed out last night, he left in a key situation, left two guys on base, hit into a double play. So I don't see the logic behind it, especially knowing what we know about what Springer did in 17 and the fact that Dusty likes to ride with his guys where he likes his guys.
To me, the logic is you're trying to jumpstart guys. This isn't – it's not a demotion.
But you're doing it to jumpstart Altuve?
That's the hope.
But if your logic is that you're trying to jumpstart Jose Altuve, wouldn't hitting in front of Yordan Alvarez, even if it's two spots, be the thing that jumpstarts Jose Altuve?
Clearly that's
like,
I mean,
you're saying that based on a sample of four games in which he's hitless.
He's
but
got 20
I would look
at
to his
bats.
Regular – Absolutely. If he also had a regular season full of at-bats in which he hit 300 from the leadoff spot. So,
he
like, where are you putting more?
Too.
Right.
That's the other thing. He struggled. He scuffled. I'm sure he's had these games or these kind of offers in the regular season. No one batted an eye. Now, suddenly, he needs to be moved.
He's had the best season that he's had offensively since he won an MVP. He was top five in the American League in OPS. He is your second best offensive player. Has he been bad in the postseason? Obviously. He's 0 for 19 so far in the postseason. But he was also your second best offensive player the entire season. So if you're jump-starting Jose Altuve, and this is the reason that you're moving him out of the leadoff spot, there's not a better spot to be than a leadoff spot if you're trying to jump-start him.
You have said on this air and to me off-air plenty of times that overall, the amount of runs scored in a game is not impacted very significantly by who's batting where in the lineup, right?
It's marginal.
I'm willing to take a risk on that marginal upside you potentially get if Altuve gets it on where he is to see if moving things around can jump-start him.
You're trying to jumpstart Altuve, though. So what is the plan? Like, if you're going to jumpstart Altuve, what's the plan?
I'll
also point out that the Astros are 4-0 in the playoffs, despite Jose Altuve being 0-19.
Yeah,
and the offense has been overall fine, other than Game 3.
So you can't make changes if things are going well, ever.
Well, you can,
no,
but
not
why,
if you're winning.
But you wanted all year to bench.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
It's the playoffs, though. Playoffs versus regular season are two huge different conversations.
I'm not benching Altuve. I'm not putting him in the 9 spot.
Where do you think there is
potentially value. It depends on who you move up there. Probably 6. 6 makes sense to me. 7. What I'm trying to do is put him in a lower pressure spot to see if something clicks. And if it doesn't, move him back to 1. I don't care. I don't think you're not going to destroy your lineup by by moving a guy who's not hitting the ball right
you
now.
You might destroy his psyche, especially if you do it and you don't talk to him first.
He could ask for it.
If he asks for it, it's different.
Yeah. Well, that's the only way that Dusty would even consider it. Well, even then, he would be, Jose, shut up. You're Jose Altuve. You're my leadoff man.
And on the flip side, if Altuve was adamant, I do not want to move from this spot. I'm not telling you you have to disrespect the guy. Honestly, I think both sides of this coin are reasonable. I think it's silly to act like it's not a reasonable discussion.
Well, I think it is terribly unreasonable. I mean, you point to the 19 at-bats, which, again, he's been really bad in 19 at-bats. He's 0 for 19. But you're going to use that four-game sample over the course, over the fact that he was unbelievable in 2022, the best offensive second baseman in all of baseball, the greatest Houston Astro ever. It's not like it's Craig Biggio when he's 42 years old and he's hitting 240. It's Jose Altuve, who had a great offensive season and hit 300. He's also been one of the most clutch performers in organization history and has the second most home runs in playoff history. How in the world are you demoting that guy?
See, and
because of a four-game sample where he was 0 for 19?
I think that's the difference. I don't think it's this massive demotion to not be batting number one. I really don't see it that way. Was Jeremy Pena promoted when he got moved to two? I don't think that was the thought process. They were trying to help him out.
They helped him out by hitting him in front of Yordan, which Jose Altuve currently hits in front of Yordan. Like, Yordan's going to change like the dynamic of how somebody's faced in an at-bat, most notably in the two spot. I think that's a big reason why Jeremy Pena is having a whole lot of success. But Jose Altuve is not going to see better pitches in the six hole than he is in the leadoff spot.
It's a lower pressure
when they know what's coming behind him.
It is lower pressure, sure.
Now that Pena's hitting, there's more of a reason to – he's going to see even better pitches now because now they know that they've got to honor and respect Pena the way they've been respecting Yordan, not maybe to the same degree, but they know Yordan's coming. And now you don't have an easier guy to pitch to in Pena. And you know Bregman's behind him. And you know that just like the Yankees have their big meat of their order guys that could do all the damage, you know that there's not a whole many teams left or teams, period, that have the damage that can be done right now if Pena's hitting too, to where Altuve's going to see better pitches now.
I get the better pitches aspect. I just think at a certain point it is reasonable to say, like, I get that this isn't a 162-game sample size, but it's also not nothing. If this continues, I think it is reasonable to consider moving him to a spot that is a lower pressure spot in the order. And if it doesn't help him, you've literally lost nothing by doing it. And if it does, awesome. You've gained a valuable hitter.
713-780-ESPN. Has Brendan lost his mind? 713-780-3776. The Killer Bees on ESPN 96.
Live from Wakefield Crowbar for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Still no Astro lineup. We'll be on the lookout for that. Really only one question, I think, today. Is it Mancini or is it a Ledmus in the DH spot? Now, if you ask Brendan, maybe it's a change at the top of the order. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Apparently, the Astros lineup is out today. Oh, this is a little bit different.
Altuve hitting sixth?
No, it is. Jose Altuve, to Brendan's dismay, is leading off. It is not the DH we thought it was going to be. There is a different DH that
Hensley?
We mentioned as an option. Nope. It is not David Hensley.
Vasquez.
Nope. It is not Vasquez DHing for the Houston Astros.
I don't know.
It is Yordan Alvarez DHing for the Houston Astros. And it is Ledmus Diaz in left field. So Ledmus Diaz still gets the start in the seventh spot, but he's playing defense today. He's in left field, and Yordan Alvarez is DHing. A little bit of an interesting decision there. Now, Framber Valdez is a ground ball pitcher. Left field in Minute Maid Park, easier to navigate than left field at Yankee Stadium.
Obviously, Giancarlo Stanton figured it out.
He made a good play the second attempt. So, yeah, that's an interesting decision. But no Mancini today after Ledmus Diaz was over 4 yesterday. I'm a little bit surprised, too. And I think you're sacrificing a little bit of defense there. I think Yordan's a little bit better defender than Ledmus Diaz in left. But that's the way the Astros are going there. We were talking about the Jose Altuve. He's 0 for the series. Is Jose 0 for Tuve? Has not been performing well. We all know that. Some people weighing in on this on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 5399, I don't care if Altuve loses us the World Series. Altuve is capital letters Altuve with an exclamation
point.
He's
earned the right to pass to either pass or fail being where he's at in this lineup for all he's done for this franchise. I just don't think there's any situation right now with where they sit to say that he shouldn't be the leadoff hitter and do whatever he or anybody else wants him to do.
7744, this could be a discussion, and if we were struggling, the Astros are 4-0, though. Now isn't the time to make lineup moves. See, that's where I would entertain that it's a conversation. Like, I still would entertain the conversation. I'd be more willing to enter that conversation than if the Astros were not up 1-0 and have won every single playoff game. But when you're rolling, you're basically going to keep your same batting order, even if you have guys that are struggling.
What is the downside? Like, I'm honestly asking, what are you risking if you move him out of the
one
spot?
Well, you're taking a better offensive player for the most part, other than the four games most recently in the playoffs, and you're switching him in a spot in the lineup with somebody else who is a lesser offensive player.
Okay, but you're taking a guy that you're going to replace him with.
So what? That's still a small sample. Five games. Great.
Depending on how you do it, even if you just take him out, move everybody else up, and move him down, Pena's not the same kind of leadoff hitter. Pena doesn't have that kind of consistent pop and the kind of plate discipline and all the different things that over time Altuve has hit time and time again. And like I said, the biggest thing is with even more guys at the top of the lineup hitting, he's going to see even better pitches than he's seen previously. And he's Jose freaking Altuve. He hasn't done anything. You know, he's shown you enough that he's getting back to his form instead of looking at as bad as he looked at early in the Seattle series, chasing a lot of bad pitches, that even last night working a walk tells me that he's close. And that's not something I'm willing to risk in the six or seven spot.
Yeah, I don't see I know that it's being presented this way. I just thought it's a reasonable discussion. I'm not saying it needs to be something you jump at now. But there's a lot of baseball to be left to be played in the postseason. If you get 5, 6, 7 games deep in this series and he still looks like he's never going to get on base, I don't know how we can write off that part of the discussion.
Look, I hear what you're saying about how you're trying to get Jose Altuve back. Like, you're trying to figure out a way to get your second-best offensive player back to being your second-best offensive player. And in the last 4 games, Brendan wants to call it 5, he has not been that guy.
They played 5 games worth.
No, I know what you're saying. Like, I understand the point. But still, 4 games, 5 games, still very, very tiny sample whenever you look at Jose Altuve's 2022 season.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's where I'm at, too. But, like, from Brendan's perspective of, like, he's not trying to criticize Jose Altuve. He's trying to catch fire with Jose Altuve. He's trying to figure out a way to spark Jose Altuve. Jose Altuve has quite honestly been a streaky hitter for a good chunk of his career, especially since like the days where he was hitting .346 and leading the league in batting average. He's somebody that at times will go in, like, I know this is his biggest slump this year, but he'll go 0-for-10. He'll have 3 lousy games, and then all of a sudden he'll get 7 hits in his next 13 at-bats with a couple of dongs. So, like, it is the ebbs and flows. Now, is he reeling right now? Yeah. I have seen some things from Altuve that have encouraged me a little bit more. I thought the quality of plate appearance yesterday was a little bit better, and he drew a walk and scored a run in a pivotal part of the game. I thought his last couple of plate appearances in Seattle in that 18-inning game were a little bit better as well. So I actually do see some signs from Jose Altuve.
You're looking at a confident guy at the plate that has command of the strike zone, that's not chasing and flailing like he was in the Seattle series, that's working the count, that's making the pitcher work, that's seeing better pitches. That's why I don't do it. And also, if you're the people that said you never should have thought about moving Yuli or touching him, and you never should have touched Maldonado, then you believe you never touch Jose Altuve either, even if you don't remember what happened with Springer in 17. It's just, the other thing is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So for me, those are all the reasons I need to say he's staying right where he's at. What he's done all year long is hit out of the leadoff spot and done everything you've asked him to do. Will he snap out of this? I certainly hope so. It's the same way I thought JV would. I believe Altuve will.
No guarantee of that, but because of the track record of Jose Altuve, you have more confidence in Jose Altuve than like if Martin Maldonado was in an 0-for-19 slump. 6-0-8-7, my thing is, yes, Altuve's in a slump, but they're 4-0 this postseason. For the most part, everyone is clicking. Altuve should pick it up, but for now, majority of the lineup is picking up his slack. I think, too, what would make this more of a reasonable conversation is if the Astros were back against the wall and the offense was, like, not producing anything. If you're down 0-2 heading into New York and you're like, my goodness, we are desperate, trying to figure something out, trying to find a spark, trying to shake it up for the sake of shaking it up, I think it is a more reasonable conversation than being up 1-0 against the Yankees and a chance for a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, if you were up one, if you had scored one run in 18 innings and were down, one or two games in a series, then I think that there would be more scrutiny on this. But I think most people that have been around this team and been around baseball know it's too small of a sample size to just jump off a cliff right now and say we're moving him and we're shaking things up with him. You could shake things up in a lot of ways with a lot of different people in this lineup. You ain't shaking it up with Jose Altuve, in my opinion.
You guys do realize, though, I know it's a small sample size. Like, the question was, essentially, is there any point where we need to start discussing that?
Right, there's still we answered that.
Potentially 13 games to play. Like,
sure.
When does it stop being a small sample size? Because I think you start getting over 10, which was halfway. We're halfway there, so maybe this was premature. But you start approaching 10, I don't think you're talking about a small sample size anymore.
I think if you enter the World Series and he's hitless,
sure,
then I think that there's some real conversations to be had.
I wouldn't even say real conversations. I think it becomes more of a reasonable conversation. But I get swept with Jose Altuve as my leadoff hitter. 713-780-ESPN, 0584. What pressure? Altuve's a four-time ALCS champ, been to it five times in a row. He has been to three World Series and won one three-time. ALCS champ for Jose Altuve. 2831, you couldn't pay me enough to touch where Jeremy Peña is in the lineup. See, this is the secondary part of the conversation.
I agree with that for the record. I wouldn't move him to.
Do not mess with his groove if you want to switch Altuve with anyone, maybe Kyle Tucker, just to mix up two struggling hitters. See, you're not moving Peña because he's been on fire hitting in front of Yordan. You're not moving Yordan because Yordan's been hitting, he's been on fire in the three spot.
You're not moving Bregman because Bregman's picking it up when they go to him instead of Yordan.
Yeah, and look, Dusty Baker, like this is kind of the old school mentality of Dusty Baker. Kyle Tucker drove in over 100 RBIs this year. Like he drove in over 100 runs. Dusty Baker's not the type of manager that's going to take his dude that has driven in over 100 runs this year and flip him to the leadoff spot. And then anything further down there, Yoli, no. Chaz McCormick had a great game yesterday. No, absolutely not. Catcher position, no. DH spot, no. 713-780-ESPN. Let's head out to the HRMP listener line. Frank, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Frank? Franklin, you're in the Hive. What's up, Frank? Oh, that's what his thoughts were on moving Jose Altuve from the leadoff spot.
He hung up on Brendan.
Yeah, he wasn't too pleased with Brendan. What do you think of this lineup today? I mean, it's pretty much the same one as yesterday. The only change is that Diaz and Yordan changed defensive positions. Yordan DHing, Aledmys Diaz in left field. Maybe just a day to get Yordan off his feet a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I think that obviously they don't want to push it too much, and he's done everything they've asked him to do by playing left field to this point. But, you know, why not? You know, maybe because they were pitching to him a little bit and he didn't have any hits. Maybe they let him relax a little bit, get off his feet a little bit more, settle in and just worry about the most important thing to the Astros, and that is his bat, and get into back into his zone. The biggest thing to me that's a surprise is just that Diaz is not only in the lineup. It's fine that he's in left field if he was hitting. He looked like he was overmatched yesterday, and that's a problem for a guy that's a contact hitter, a fastball hitter, a guy that should be able to do, because Taillon wasn't exactly overpowering for what he's used to, and it didn't look like the Aledmys Diaz we've seen throughout the year when he's really been on a hot streak and a roll. So that's why I'm a little surprised he's in the lineup.
A little surprised, too. I thought it'd be Mancini today. I don't disagree a whole lot with Dusty in the sense here, though. Like, I think Yordan's a better defensive outfielder than Aledmys Diaz, but if in the back of your mind you're like, you know what, I want to give my big guy a day off his feet. I want to make sure that he's well-rested. That way I can maximize what he can bring with his bat. Like, that's the reason that Yordan Alvarez is so great, is because of his bat. And while I also think that Yordan's a better defender, if you're going to get Aledmys in left field for a game, do it behind a ground ball pitcher. Framber Valdez, one of the best ground ball pitchers in all of baseball. 713-780-ESPN. Back out to the HRMP listener line. John, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, John?
Hey, yeah, I was just listening to you guys talk about the lineup. And I think it's a good idea getting Yordan out there because he made a dive at, I forget which game it was, at a ball. And my first instinct was, oh, my God, it's me.
Yeah.
So I think Diaz out there is going to be good. Gets the big guy, keeps him safe, and let's let him do what he does. Man, he hits the ball. That's what we need.
I agree with the call. Look, I think I would have rather seen Mancini over Diaz today, but that slight difference isn't great enough of, like, giving Yordan the best chance to maximize himself offensively. So I like the decision here by Dusty. I think it's a good idea.
The best point is the one that you made just previously, which is, you're not dealing with a fly ball pitcher. We're going to be expected to be running all over the yard, covering the alleys, you know, fielding balls if they get to the corner, you know, on a frequent basis. You're dealing with a guy that's a ground ball pitcher, and that's why you can make this change right now, and hopefully you'll be okay.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Who was the biggest star of yesterday's game, and what gives you the most confidence from the Astros postseason thus far? We'll chat with a Will Houseman live from Wakefield Crowbar. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you feel like you have a certain lean on today's game, whether it's Astros-Yankees, Game 2 ALCS, whether it's Thursday Night Football, you want to play it? Well, head over to BetUS.com, who's back for their 28th year of NFL action. The industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%. BetUS offers their members the opportunity to cash in on all of your favorite leagues. We just mentioned the NFL. We just mentioned Major League Baseball. A fun slate of college football on Saturday. NBA is hot and heavy with the season getting started this week. And while you're sweating out those sports bets, well, BetUS also has hundreds of new casino games, European slots. They have live dealers waiting for you at the tables in case you're a table game kind of person. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity, and you need to know you're going to get paid. You need a sportsbook that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, MMA fights on Saturday, golf, horses, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets and your favorite parlays. Call today, 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS, and they'll walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gives better bonuses than BetUS. Join now, mention 97.5, and you can get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. Head to BetUS.com. Join today. That's BetUS, where the game begins.
Live from Wakefield Crowbar for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, live from Wakefield Crowbar. We're about to clock out here at the top of the hour, but the Wheelhouse will be here until 7 o'clock, so come hang out with them. Say hello. Watch the Astros game tonight here as well from Wakefield Crowbar. Great spot to do it. 24-foot giant TV wall, wall-to-wall TVs. Great spot to watch all your sports. You're looking for a place to watch UFC on Saturday, too. They have a 1 o'clock main card start. This is the place to do it. They never charge cover. There's some big fights a week from Saturday, too, in the boxing world. Jake Paul, Anderson Silva. How about that one? You never charge a cover here at Wakefield Crowbar. Cody Stutes hanging out with us. I had the wings earlier, Cody. They were fantastic. Blankers loved the spicy pretzel. I saw you munching on a nice little, look like a buffalo chicken sandwich.
It was the hot honey tender sandwich.
Oh, how was it?
It was fantastic.
How were the fries?
They're very good. I love this type of fry, French fry. It's
a little like crispier?
Crispy, but still fluffy on the inside. Fantastic.
Yeah, it looked very good. Thanks for offering some fries, though.
By the way, we were playing the Ohio Players Frombers theme song because we're not going to let you down. We're going to play the right music to get him going
Needs
to go. You're welcome.
Did Brendan just play the wrong song?
No, he played the right one.
Oh, he did play the
Frombers,
right song.
Frombers theme song. Yeah.
I guess I didn't know what Frombers theme song was, but we played it, just like he played Ace of Spades yesterday, and Verlander was able to get the dub. Who do you think, Cody, was the biggest star of yesterday's game? Because I think there's several that you can mention. Chaz. You can mention Presley, a four-out save, which he doesn't do that very often.
Baldy
just one other time.
Get honorable mention.
We settled down to two, Justin Verlander and Jeremy Pena. Where would you go?
I'd go Verlander on that just because you had Pena add on at the back end of the situation, not necessarily on the front end. And if Verlander hadn't turned into a star, that thing could have got real nasty, got out of hand. So I'll lean Verlander on that.
About in that third inning, because Verlander wasn't very good in the first, second, and then early in the third. He turned it on once the Yankees had second and third with one out. I was feeling like it was last six outing playoff Justin Verlander, and then he turned into Cy Verlander in that spot. What was your feeling with where Verlander was at in that third inning, second and third, one out?
It was one of those situations where if he gets out of it and you feel pretty good about him going for the rest of the game or however long you were expecting him to go. But if he gets in a little bit of trouble there, I mean, I wouldn't have necessarily written him off, but it would have been – the hook was certainly quicker yesterday than it would
pitch
have
pitch count was up.
Yeah.
It was.
And this wasn't a regular season game. This was where you could find yourself really staring down the barrel of a really bad deal if he had given up multiple runs. I expected he would give up one. The fact that he got out of it unscathed was amazing to me and gave me hope he could settle in.
Well, that once he got out of that unscathed, you're like, okay, this guy's at least got something. Like he can dip into the well. How consistent can he dip into the well? And then, he dipped in the well pretty well.
Yeah, it wasn't his A game early, but it wasn't his D game. And I think that's why I mentioned this to Jeremy. I think that's what the greats do. They figure it out on the fly, and he figured it out on the fly enough to give you exactly what you needed out of him.
His first three innings, he had to wiggle out of trouble. And then all of a sudden he turned into the Justin Verlander that he was all of 2022. It was a tale of two starts. The first three innings he was shaky, and I thought he was pretty fortunate to get out of the first three innings only with one run. Now, you do have to give him credit for the strikeout of Donaldson and Carpenter once the Yankees had second and third, one out in the third. But then his final three innings, he was brilliant. I mean, it was the Justin Verlander that we saw all year, and the demise of Justin Verlander had been greatly exaggerated.
But he got to, what, seven strikeouts in a row, and then
six.
Matched his own record for the most consecutive strikeouts. He did it previously. Anderson said it was in Detroit, but I thought he did it in 2017. Who cares? It doesn't really matter. He finished with 11 strikeouts. You get six innings, one run on three hits, and you struck out 11. That's a great start.
If you didn't watch the game and you just saw the box score, you think he's all world.
Yep. Box score analyst, that was a great start by Justin Verlander.
Yep. If you watched the game, you knew there were some pretty high leverage situations that he bailed himself out of.
But that's the greatness of a starter, right? Like, you get out of trouble when you're not at your best, you find your best, and then you become unhittable.
That's why I said that's what aces are made out of.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The Yankees, though, to me, once you get past those first four guys, there's a lot more miss than hit to the rest of that lineup.
Yeah.
I know Donaldson came into yesterday with a 400 on base percentage, but if it's second and third, how do you end up in a, you know, like a 400 on base percentage doesn't help. You got to hit a hit. You got to knock the guys in.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the like, I look at their on-base percentage. This is where we were talking about earlier, where they are a low-average team, high on-base percentage, and they hit all the
home runs. Boom or bust in so many ways.
That's why command is important, not walking dudes is important, because they're going to hit their home runs. You tip your cap when they do. Harrison Bader hits a home run. You tip your cap when he does. The issue has to be, because of the on-base that you're referring to, you can't let them have those free passes. Like, if they hit a solo homer, they hit a solo homer, but you don't give up the free passes like you're alluding to, Cody.
Yeah, and even then, like, okay, Donaldson, he gets on base, but he doesn't hit the ball well.
Yeah.
Like, low batting average. And then Carpenter after him, and he hadn't really seen much action in the playoffs. So, yeah, it was second and third, and you're like, okay, a base hit is going to score one, maybe two.
Or even a sac fly.
Or a sac fly puts a run across the board. But I wasn't super concerned or super worried in that spot. Like, I was worried for how much more Verlander's going to go, as much as, like, oh, this could get out of hand. Like, I wasn't worried about it getting out of hand or anything.
I think the biggest thing that maybe they don't get enough credit for, and it's rare to say that about a New York team and a New York lineup, is how much stress they put on you in that top four of the lineup, though, because it's so tedious to make sure you don't get beat with a bomb and you don't leave a guy on base so that, solos are fine. But, boy, if you start getting beat by two- and three-run bombs, and you know those guys can do the damage they can do, they can destruct you in a hurry.
Yeah, I felt like, I mean, I don't know exactly which broadcaster it was, but it was like turnover the lineup. Like, they really felt like if the Yankees could get something going at the bottom of their lineup, put some guys on base.
I think Frank Coor said it a couple times. Like, you get to them one more time, there's still a lot of work to be done before you can say the Astros are going to win this game.
Yeah. So the Yankees, past those first four guys, if you can handle those guys, most of the time you're going to beat them. But if those first four guys are mashing with the bottom of the lineup on base, you're going to be in trouble.
0783 is texting us, says Yankee fans say that they were tired. Why they lost? Verlander owned them. I think there's some merit to that. The Yankees having to catch a late flight, a very taxing ALDS. Like, this wasn't just a run-of-the-mill three-game series in the regular series and you're flying to the next town. That was an elimination back-against-the-wall champagne game. Like, that was a high-stress game for the Yankees. I don't discredit that.
I don't discredit that.
Do we get to apply the Yankees were tired at the beginning of the series, or do we get to apply it at the back end of the series?
I think you can apply it to all of it because of the state of where their pitching staff was coming into the series. Look, Aaron Boone, the way he managed that game yesterday, he was getting crushed for how he used his relievers. I don't know if it was the worst thing that Aaron Boone could have done, because once he was trailing in the game, he used some of his lower
Trevino
leverage guys. Like, Trevino's good, but he's one of their lower leverage guys.
Different for them. Yeah.
Montas wasn't in the ALDS roster. He's been battling a short shoulder.
It's like the first time he's pitched in like a month.
Castro didn't pitch in the ALDS, so they used him. So they used Schmidt when it was a tie game. Schmidt gave up a couple of runs, a couple of home runs.
Well, he did his job early, and then when he came back out, he imploded.
So Boone was getting a lot of heat for the way he used his bullpen yesterday, that he was like basically like tinkering, or that he was just trying to steal a game, didn't really effort a whole lot to try to win that game. But, I mean, they used Wandy Peralta in every game of the ALDS. They used Holmes and Schmidt in four of those five games. Like, those guys just might not have been available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, the Yankees still have everything in front of them that they want to accomplish.
They win tonight, and it's still a beast of a series.
Yeah, exactly. So, they knew going in, if they're going to hold serve at home, they got to steal one on the road. They could still do that tonight, and You know, send
and
it
then
back
you
to
get
New
your
York.
One and two, and then
yep.
In a lot of people's minds, they're sitting in a driver's seat position.
A much yep. more even pitching matchup tonight, too, with Seve versus Fromber as opposed to Taillon, who isn't as bad as people think, but going up against Justin Verlander, a little bit of a mismatch there, obviously. Seve versus Fromber, pretty even on paper.
I just think for all the people that were also talking and the questions to Aaron Boone about, you know, did you had him on the ropes, but you couldn't put him away in Verlander. Well, I mean, I think not enough credit is given to Aaron Judge and the play he made to actually putting the Astros in the driver's seat, which might have been for the entire game had they got two or a three spot in that drive that Bregman hit to the gap where he made one hell of a play.
What gives you the most confidence with this team? Because it's a pretty complete team. You know, there's not many holes with this team, maybe the DH spot. Blankers mentioned earlier, like, their tenacity. Like, they've been down in every single one of these games, with the exception of Game 3, but they only scored one run in 18 innings, took the 18th inning to score said run. What gives you the most confidence with this club?
They haven't really exploded yet. Like,
yeah.
like they haven't put together a full, complete Astros game. And look, that may not be coming because it's the playoffs and everything gets dialed up and the opponents are much, much better. But we've seen this team just absolutely mash teams in the middle of a game where all of a sudden it's a 2-1 game and next thing you know it's like a 7-1 game because the Astros put a bunch of runs on the board. We've seen that from time to time. We haven't seen that quite yet. You may not see it, just the level of competition. But you got key contributors overachieving and you got key contributors underachieving. So, like, Altuve's going to hit. Like, I understand, you know, Ofer, yada, yada. He's going to hit. And then if this is going to be Yuli Gurriel, then I mean, that's a massive overachievement. My big thing that I was worried about with this series is if Altuve stays cold and Gurriel comes back down to regular season Gurriel. Because what yeah. I expected was regular season Verlander, which
even if
last
Maldi,
night.
And Maldi was an Ofer, but Maldi got the big hit to start him off last night.
Yeah, but like I expected regular season Verlander to show up last night. I also expected regular season Yuli Gurriel to be here for this series. And if that's not going to be the case, if that guy's going to be a lot closer to previous success, Yuli Gurriel, then that's just such a big bonus for you, and it makes that lineup a little bit longer. We're talking about the Yankees top four. Well, the Astros top five right now, but if Yuli's going to do that, all of a sudden they're six, and then if you're going to get a regular contribution from somebody else, like a Chaz or a Maldonado, or if the DH spot ever decides to hit again, I know Jordan's in the DH spot. But
the seven spot, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. If you get that seven-spot contribution, then all of a sudden you're a real long lineup.
Dusty's alluded to that, too. He said he doesn't feel like this team has clicked on all cylinders yet. What's coming up on the wheelhouse today?
Lots to talk about this Astros team. Brad Kellner will be here.
Brad Kellner. Oh, he's here.
He's here.
He's here in the flesh.
He's here. He'll be here. He's going to sign autographs before, during, and after.
Selfies.
All right, yep, selfies.
Jello shots.
Yep, he'll even digitally sign your selfie, too.
Oh, it's like an NFT type of stuff there.
Yep. One of a kind.
All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks so much to Belmer, who is our on-site engineer today. Thanks to Brendan behind the glass doing all the hard work, both of them doing the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Blank will talk to you tomorrow. Brendan will talk to you tomorrow. I'll talk to you again on Monday. The Wheelhouse is next from Wakefield Crowbar on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.